Reading from Sri Bhajan Rahasyam by Srila Thakura Bhaktivinoda. Continuing the discussion of verse number 5 from Shikshastakam. Ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishnave bhavamburo kripaya tava parapankaja stitaduli sadrisham vichintaya. In this verse, Radharani is crying out to Krishna, O Nanda Nandan, I am lost and struggling in this horrible ocean of material birth and death, this material existence, ocean of material existence. Please pick me up from this ocean and place me as an atom in the dust of your lotus feet. So here, Radharani is saying, Ai Nanda Tanuja Kinkara. Oh Nanda Nandan, I want to be your kinkari. I don't want to be your wife. I don't want any official connection with you. I'm happy just to be your maidservant, dasi, kinkari. I don't even ask for any pay. The opportunity to serve you is enough payment. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, hidden in this verse, in Shikshastakam, hidden within this verse is a secret of rahasyam. Rahasya means secret, a secret of bhajan. People are wondering, or people say, devotees say, oh, I don't have any attachment to the holy name. I'm chanting for so many years, I don't have any attachment. Attachment? I don't even have any attraction. I don't have any attraction or attachment. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has perceived, through his own bhajan, that the secret of attachment to the holy name is contained in this fifth verse of Shikshastakam. When we realize our precarious position of how much dependent we actually are and how much tiny and small we really are and fragile we really are, then we can truly call out for help from above. If one is stuck in the middle of an ocean and all around them is nothing but water and there's no land in sight, there's no people in sight, and there's no one around, but the only one that's there, if you have faith at least, is above your head, there's God. God is above your head. And at this point, no one can extend his hand to save you except God. So you're crying out, God save me, God save me, God save me. So then all of a sudden you find your feet are standing on a sandbar. There's some toll, they call it toll or atoll, I think it's called atoll. It's like a small coral island made of coral. And you're being tossed and turned by the waves and you're floating here and there in the ocean. And it's hundreds and hundreds of feet deep. And all of a sudden, by some strange fate, you find you put your feet down and there's something solid under your feet. And you stand there, my God, everywhere there's water, but there's solid ground under my feet because there's some island of coral just below the surface. This happens in many places. So then you breathe, oh God, thank you. So this is what Radharani's praying like this here in this verse. Oh Nanda Nandan, I'm really, please extend your hand and pick me up. Put me on the dry land of your feet. So this kinkari, this mode of kinkari is being described verse after verse. So while he was doing bhajan, then this verse appeared to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is a verse of Raghunath Das Goswami's Swasankalpa Prakasha Stotra. So this is his own sankalpa. This was manifest to himself, which is explaining the necessity of taking shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Radha. Because kinkari, ainanda tanuja kinkara, from our side, from Radharani's side, she's feeling herself to be a kinkara, or a kinkari. Radharani's feeling herself to be a maidservant of Nanda Nandan, a maidservant of Krishna. So she's praying in a very humble mood. Oh Krishna, I just want to be a speck of dust. I'm not asking to be a maidservant or to brush your hair or to cook for you or to do anything very special. Just keep me as a speck of dust in your feet. That'll be enough for me. So that's from her side. But from our side as a sadhaka, when we chant this verse from Shikshastakam, this indicates a particular sadhya, or a particular goal which we are striving to attain. And from our side, we're trying to become kinkaris of Srimati Radharani. We're trying to become maidservants of Srimati Radharani. Because we have come by the arrangement of the Lord, Yancha Rudani Maya. He has directed us to take shelter this Mandri Sakhi Sampradaya. So our Guru is a Sakhi, our Param Guru is a Sakhi, Mandri, Pran Sakhi, Nitya Sakhi. And everyone in our line, practically speaking, is a Sakhi. It was not by chance. If someone had the Stai Bhav of Sakhi Ras, then the Lord would guide them accordingly. Generally, we can say. Because there are also lines of Acharyas coming from Nityananda that are followers of Balaram, the Gopals, and they have their Sakya Ras Sampradaya. Sometimes we even find, like our Madhav Maharaj, our God brother, he's also in the mood of the Sakya Ras, and he's coming in the line of Prabhupada. That can also be there. So he cites this verse to indicate this mood of hankering for the service of Radharani's feet, because I mentioned that this word kinkara has three different aspects. Kinkara can mean just servant, or kinkara can mean specifically dasi rati, serving Krishna in particular rati as a master servant or mother and son, friend of friend or lover, conjugal lover. And then the final definition, which is the intention presented here by Bhakti Vinod, that Ayinanda Tanuja Kinkara, Kinkara means Kinkari. Kinkari means female maidservant. Kinkari is another name for Manjari. Manjari means a young gopi, 12, 13-year-old gopi, who is very much specialized in serving Srimati Radharani or other gopis. And she doesn't directly, independently enjoy with Krishna, but her life and soul is to give pleasure to Radharani by serving her directly and making arrangements for her to meet with Krishna and offer herself for the pleasure of Krishna and Srinkar Ras, or divine conjugal love. This verse is there by Raghunath Das. Anaradya Radha Padam Bhujo, Anaradya Radha Padam Bhujo, Renam Anashritya Vrindatavin Tatpadankam Asambhasya Tad Bhava Gambira Chittan Kutasham Shama Sindhu Rasayavagaha. Translation: how can a person become immersed in the ocean of ecstatic mellows of Sham if he has never worshipped the dust of Radha's lotus feet, if he has never taken shelter of her pastime place Sri Vrindavan, which is marked with the impressions of her lotus feet, and if he has never served the devotees whose hearts are already submerged in her profound sentiments? It will never be possible. Radha, let's see. Radha Padam Bhoja Reno Nahi Aradile Tanhara Padanka Puta Vrajana Bhajile. So here he's saying that there's three steps to success. He's asking a question, Raghunath Das asking a question. How will someone experience this Shamras? Shamras Sindhu, this ocean of bliss of that's attained by serving Sham and serving Krishna. And he's saying there's three steps that you have to live in Brajadam, live in Radharani's pastime abode, Sridham Vrindavan. It's called Sridham Vrindavan. Vrindavan means the forest of, so many forests are there, forest of Tulsi, Vrindavan. And Sridham, Sri means Srimati Radharani, and Dham means the abode or home. So Sridham Vrindavan. Radharani lives in this place. She lives in here and she has all her beautiful pastimes. So Das Goswami is saying, you must take shelter of Sridham Vrindavan, Brajabhumi. And you must worship the dust of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani and associate and serve with advanced Vaishnavas that are living there. So here in this verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is yearning to attain the astonishing service of Radha Madhav. The commentator is telling, in order to be submerged in the ocean of Shamras, which means Sringhar Ras, or ecstatic, amorous mellow, it is absolutely essential to worship the dust of the lotus feet of Radhika, who is a personification of Ladini. We must worship Vrindavan Dham, which is her place of playful, amorous pastimes, Keli Vilas Stala, and we must worship her dearmost devotees. Besides this method, there is no way to attain the service of Radha Madhava. Considering there to be another way is only vain and useless. And this is confirmed in Radharasa Sudaniti, verse 80, by Prabodhananda Saraswati. Radha Dasyam Apasthaya Prayat Tate Govinda Sangashaya Soyam Purnasudha Ruche Parichayam Rakam Vina Kankshati. Those who endeavor to attain the association of Krishna but who reject the service of Radha are like people who endeavor to see the full moon when it is not a full moon night. In other words, you can't, if there's no full moon, you can't see it, no matter how much. Where is it? Where's the full moon? I want to see the full moon. It's not there. Well, I want to attain Krishna's service, so forget about Radharani. I mean, he's, at least from his viewpoint, he says it's impossible. And then in Stavavali, it also says by Das Goswami, Yekam Govindam Bhajati Kapati Dambi Kataya Tadabhyarne Shirne Kshanam Apina Yami Vratamidam. I will never go near a hypocrite who worships Govinda alone without Radha. This is my vow. Comment. If Shyam is directly the emperor of all transcendental mellows, he's Rasaraj, and the embodiment of the amorous mellow, Shrinkar Ras, then Srimati Radhika, in the form of modern Akya, Mahabhav, she is the form. Srimati Radhika, with her Shrinkar Ras, feeds Shyam honey in the form of Cupid. So this, because this verse is all about Shyam Ras, or Shrinkar Ras. So we are, if we are interested in Kinkari Bhav, as this verse is telling us, Mahaprabhu is telling us, Ayi Nanda Tanasha Kinkaram, Kinkari Bhav means Shrinkar Ras. Means Madhurya love, the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. So we're aspiring to assist those pastimes of Radha and Krishna, to serve there and attain a service capacity in the camp of Srimati Radharani, being faithful to her and having more feelings for her than even Krishna. This is known as Radha Sneha Adhika. Adhika means extra or more, additional. And Sneha means affection. So the Mandris have more affection and interest and concern for Radharani than Krishna. Although it's like perfect, more perfect and most perfect. Dwarka is perfect, Mathura is more perfect, Purnatar, and Vrindavan is Purnatam. So they have lots and lots of, Mandris have lots of feelings for Krishna. Tremendous. But they have lots more for Radharani. So it's not that, well, we care about Radharani, oh, Krishna will. No. We don't care about Krishna. No, we fully care about Krishna. Because without Krishna, Radharani can't be happy. Hey, oh, what's up? Those have ropes around them, those boxes? There's ropes? I can't see. Okay. So you have to carry them. I asked them to do that. So this is the Shrinkar Ras. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has a very nice bhajan, which is in this songbook, Giti Gooch, which a lot of devotees have. You can sing sometime. It's called Radhika Charana Padma. And there's a few phrases here. It's a longer song. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very much setting the tenor of the mood of devotion towards Radharani, which is what this chapter is all about. Ultimately, it's about Radhadasyam, the service of Radharani. Radhika Ujvala Rasera Acharya Radha Madhava Shuddha Prema Vicharya Yedarila Radha Pada Parama Jatane Se Paila Krishna Pada Amulya Ratane Radha Pada Bina Kabu Krishna Nahimile Radhika Dasira Krishna Sarva Vede Bole. Srimati Radhika is the Acharya of the mellows of amorous love, Ujjala Ras. So Radharani is a guru. Everyone's, Krishna is a guru of Brahma, and Brahma is a guru of Vyasa, I mean of Narada and Vyasa, etc. But then who's Krishna's guru? Sometimes people say that. Oh, God is the original guru. And then someone says, sometimes they say, we say God is the origin of everything. then people argue, well, who's the origin of God? Well, then that's the very meaning of God. That's where the buck stops. The buck stops with God. If you go beyond that, then you have another God. Original God. God is one. So, but in terms of guru, God has a guru. So the guru of God is Radharani. That's what, we have a phrase in English, behind every great man, there's a great woman. So God is a great man, but behind him is an even greater woman, named Radharani. So, this is quite apropos, that behind every great man, certainly God is great, no one will deny, but greater than God is Radharani. Because she mystifies him, enchants him, and instructs him. No, you do like this, and you do like this. So then, she's the acharya of Ujjvala Ras, which means Sringar Ras. The pure love between Radha and Madhav is meant to be discussed and contemplated. So, it says, Radha Madhav Shuddha Prema Vichar. Vichar means considered. Vichar means we should consider, we should contemplate, we should think about it, we should understand it, we should hear about it. In some circles they say that it's taboo. It's taboo, it's forbidden. It's like the apple or whatever it's called, Garden of Eden or something. You can't eat the apple. So the very thing that acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur are telling us, even there's one letter in the letters book, it's a phenomenal letter. It was written in 1968 to Hayagriva. And apparently that Hayagriva sent some letter and Prabhupada's responding. And Prabhupada said, so, if you're agitated by sex desire, then you should read about Radha and Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. You can see in your folios, letter to Hayagriva, 1968. And hardly the Krishna book was even out then, it came out in 69. Maybe it's 69 the letter, but it's way back. He says, so if you're agitated by sex desires, then the remedy for this is you should read about Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So, that's interesting thought, food for thought. But the point is, if you read about Radha and Krishna's pastimes with a mood of service, then you won't be agitated. It goes back, goes the converse, it goes the other way around also. If you're already reading, and with a mood of seva, with a mood of gratitude and appreciation, and entering that royal court of Leela, with a straw between your teeth and with folded hands and simply asking what service may you render, kim karomi, then you will be accepted over there and you'll get all good result from your visit to the royal kingdom and will not be anything bad happening to you. Those who place Srimati Radhika's lotus feet in their hearts and worship them with great care, they obtain the priceless jewel of Krishna's lotus feet. Without taking the shelter of the lotus feet of Radha, one can never meet Krishna. The Vedic scriptures declare that Krishna is the property of the maidservants of Radha. So the Manjaris, they actually, the Krishna belongs to them. Because Krishna wants to be with Radharani. He wants Radharani's service. He wants to accept her service and serve her in return. And he wants to be pleased by Radharani. He wants to please her in return. This is love. Spiritual love. And but sometimes Radharani is unfavorable. She's in Man. And she's showing an unfavorable or contrary mood to Krishna. She's sulking, love sulk. So then Krishna has to resort to his ultimate weapon. It's called crying at the feet of the Manjaris. Krishna has to approach the Manjaris and cry, O Rupa Manjari, O Rati Manjari, please, you know, please be kind to me. Please convince your Radhika that I'm really not a bad guy after all. I'm really not so bad. And that she should be a little bit more mellow, softer towards me. And accept me again in her service. I'm only begging for service. Oh, Srimati Radharani, oh, energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. So even Krishna's chanting the Maha Mantra. It's a fact. He's chanting the Maha Mantra, but he has a different conception. His mantra chintata. Then what is he meditating on? What is the meaning of the mantra that he considers in his mind? Oh Hare, oh Ram, oh Krishna. He says Krishna instead of Krishna. Krishna means Radharani. He says, oh Radharani, oh my divine blissful love energy, please engage me as your divine slave in your eternal service. So Krishna comes to the Manjaris, chanting the Maha Mantra. and trying to avoid all the 10 offenses. And he begs the mandris, please, will you please ask Radharani to accept me again in her service? So then we say, well, you know, I have to have a little bribe, you know. If you can give something to me, then maybe I can do your work. Because this is India. And if you want your work done, then you have to give a little bit of grease, you know, a little bit pranami. So then Krishna says, well, listen, I'll give you some, I have some tambul here. And I'm chewing this tambul, and I'll spit it in your hand if you do this for me. And then the mandri says, okay, first you pay, I don't trust you. You're a very tricky fellow, so you give me payment. So then Krishna spits the tambul in the mandri's hand, and she puts it in her mouth. Okay, I'll do your work. So then the mandri, she goes into Kunj and Seva Kunj, and then she petitions Radharani, she holds on to Radharani's feet, and she squeezes them very gently and nicely, and then Radharani's feeling very relaxed, and she says, oh, Radhika, you know, this blue boy, he's really quite nice, you know. And then Radharani says, no, what are you talking about? You know? And finally, somehow, Radharani softens. Then the mandri can make the proposal that Radharani will please accept Krishna again in her service. So in this way, the mandris get to render very wonderful service. So that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that the Vedic scriptures declare that Sarva Vede Bole, that Radhika Dasira Krishna, that Krishna is a property of the maidservants of Radha. Vrindavan Dham is a place of Radha Madhav's various amorous pastimes, Lila Vilas. Sri Yuga Kishore roam here performing their pastimes. The land of Vrindavan is marked with the impressions of their feet. Radha Padankita Dhamma Vrindavana Jandranam. So now we cite the Bhagavatam, 30th chapter, 10th canto, 28th verse, how the ground of Vrindavan is marked with the footprints of Krishna, even to this day. And the Yaradito Nunam, Bhagavan Hari Ishvaraha, Yan no Vihaya Govinda, and Prito Yamana Yadraha. The Gopi said, most certainly she is Krishna's worshipper. Therefore, being pleased with her, Shyamasundara left us and has taken her away to a solitary place. Because they saw the footprints. When Krishna disappeared from the Rasastali, taking Radha with him, the gopis who were searching for him saw his footprints in the forest along with Radhika's. Praising her good fortune, they said, Kasya Padani Chaitani Yataya Nandasuna. Sununa. Here are the footprints of some gopi who is walking with the son of Nanda Maharaj. All of Vrindavan, including Govardhan and Radhakund, is the abode of Radha and Krishna's Keli Vilas, pastime and pleasure pastimes, and is marked with their footprints. Jata Rati Sadakas, those that have attained bhava, have internal revelations or spurtis about Radha and Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan's bowers. Taking shelter of Vrindavan Dham means to remember the various leelas performed there and to be absorbed in the sentiments of those leelas. This is what it means to be, like some people say, that when we say one should take shelter of Vrindavan, worship the lotus feet of the Lord, Radharani, and associate with the advanced Vaishnavas always talking about Radha and Krishna. So here it says, taking shelter of Vrindavan. So someone thinks that if they get a house or apartment, you know, in Vrindavan, then they're taking shelter. Because a house is also a shelter. Shelter for the body. But here, the definition of shelter is something else. Shelter means that your mind actually takes advantage of the facility which is offered by Vrindavan to enter into the pastimes of the Lord. Because the Leela Shakti is existing here. This Vrindavan is made of this Chinmoy Shakti, or rather Chit Shakti of the Lord. So the different pastime places are surcharged with Leela Shakti, pastime potency. So we live there. We are especially enjoined to live in places of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. You see the example of the Anuragi Vaishnavas that came here to take shelter of Vrindavan. They didn't randomly live anywhere here and there in Vrindavan. As like I got one friend, he's from Italy. He lives somewhere in some village somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And he says, oh, that this is some kind of pastime place. Of course, you know, every inch of Vrindavan is a pastime place. But we have to follow the footsteps, Mahajana Yena Katasa Panta. We have to follow the path of the Mahajans. So when all the Mahajans came here and did bhajan, they went to specific places where it's very clearly written and described in various Puranas that the Lord had pastimes. Sevakunj, Nidiban, Terakadamba, Pavan Sarovara, Govindakund, Chakaleshwara, Manasi Ganga, Radhakund, Shamakund. These are the Ankamyavan. These are the places, and specifically in specific areas of those different forests, they would sit under some brambles or trees and make some little place to live, or no place to live, just live. And just live under there and do their bhajan and their lila smaran and their seva. And nowadays people go anywhere in the middle of nowhere and just buy some apartment and say, well, I'm in Vrindavan, I'm taking shelter in Vrindavan, and I get a cable connection and a nice satellite dish and take shelter of 81 cable TV channels. And they call that living and taking shelter in Vrindavan. But taking shelter in Vrindavan means this: to remember the leelas performed there and be absorbed in the sentiments of those leelas. So the devotees who live at Radhakund, they're very much absorbed in the Madhyan Leela. They too much like this Madhyan Leela. And they remember that Leela, and even they try to deeply enter those Leelas. All Leelas, obviously, but especially Madhyan Leela. Because this is a place of Madhyan Leela. Our six Goswamis, they did bhajan here. They also did bhajan Sevakunj. That's the Nisha Leela, Ras Leela. Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami and our Srila Prabhupada, they were absorbed in Nisha Leela and Sevakunj. So this is, Prabhupada was very much a champion of this mood of living in the pastime places and rendering service there. He lived there for 6 years in Sevakunj. One can only imagine the type of meditation. One can only imagine the type of meditation, type of internal service that Prabhupada was doing in Sevakunj. As Prabhupada said himself, that this is my eternal home. What does that mean? It means some square little room with little lattice window, a little sandstone room in it. And a medieval temple is Prabhupada's eternal home. No, it means that the bhajan, the seva, the nitya seva of Radha and Krishna and Sevakunj, this is his home. In his siddhadeha spiritual body, he's rendering service eternally to Radha Damodar and the groves of Sevakunj. Right next to Rupa Mandri and Vilas Mandri, Jiva Goswami, Kasturi Mandri. Prem Bhakti Chandrika Narottam says, Tanra Bhakta Sange Sada Rasalila Prema Katha Je Kare Se Paya Ganasham. By staying in the company of devotees who always discuss the sweet nectarine pastimes of the Rasa dance, one is sure to attain Ganasham. The sweetness of the Rasa of Radha Shamasundar's pastimes can only be relished through association with and service to the great personalities who taste Rasa and are submerged in the waves of this endless and eternal ocean of sweetness. So this is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving us this verse from Raghunath Das Goswami to remind, these are some aspects of Kinkari Bhav, how to cultivate Kinkari Bhav, and how to cultivate and increase our attachment to Krishna by worshipping the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, by living in the holy Dhamma Vrindavan, and associating with those devotees who are absorbed in Radha Madhava's pastimes. Of course, that's not so easy. So how people interpret this is that they live in Vrindavan and they worship Radharani by meditating on her pastimes and praying for her service and chanting different astakams to Radharani. And then they associate with these very advanced devotees by studying the books of the six Goswamis and praying to them. And whenever they have an opportunity externally, they try to meet advanced devotees and serve them and hear from them about Radha Madhava. But that may be not so available always, even in Vrindavan. But they're there, the advanced devotees are there. You have to find them, seek them out. Also, it helps to learn Hindi and Bengali, because most of them speak Hindi and Bengali. But nevertheless, we can, in our own way, we can adjust these, we can still follow these three teachings. Worshipping Radharani's lotus feet, living in the holy Dham. We can live here, remember the pastimes, and associate with the six Goswamis by reading their books. And all these asticums are there. That's why some very kind acharyas have collected these asticums and have utilized them as part of their own bhajan and encouraged their followers to do the same. And these are very useful and helpful prayers, asticums and prayers that are available. Prayers to Radharani, prayers to Lita, prayers to Radhakund and Shamakund, and to Govardhan and Yamuna, and all these benevolent residents of the spiritual world that are just waiting, as they say, waiting with open arms to embrace us and to encourage us in our own bhajan. Because this, all these things are very much powerful in Vrindavan. When one chants these asticums in Vrindavan, they have much more power, 100 times the power. Because all these personalities are right here. Yamuna's right here. Lalita's right here. We chant Lita, if we go to Moscow and chant Lita Asticum, that's very nice. And Lita can come anywhere. She can appear in Moscow also. But generally she doesn't. Well, she can. She can be attracted by the Sri Krishna Karshani. By the attractive power of your Bhav or Prem, she can come anywhere. So similarly, when we're here, or conversely, when we're here in Vrindavan, Lita is moving here and there in Vrindavan, in a Prakrit Leela. So we're calling out, hey Lita, hey Sakhi. She says, oh, what's that? Someone's calling. Someone's calling for me. So she pays attention. And there's so many statements. Vrindavan is a special place. We should never underestimate Vrindavan. And so if we live here as per the instructions that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving here, that he's received from Raghunath Das, then these practices will be very conducive to helping us develop Kinkari Bhav, this mood of a Kinkari. Because Vrindavan is full of Kinkaris. For sure, Vrindavan is full of Kinkara Bhav, which means the mood of selfless service to Krishna. Nanda has that mood, Yashoda has that mood, the Gopas, everyone has that mood. So I have some note here. Can you read from this note? This is a short note. Because all these verses, of course, this is sakti, is all, at this level of a sakti and nambhajan, it's already assumed that one is, at this level, one is already practicing Raganuga Bhakti. Because Raganuga Bhakti generally begins at the level of nishta. One comes to the level of nishta, along with nishta, there's also some rag, some attachment for the Lord is awakened. So one will be desirous to worship the Lord in a particular way and to follow a particular resident of Vrindavan. So rag bhakti generally, although in Ragvartman Chandrika, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that one can begin Raganuga Bhakti even at the level of an Artanivrti, if due to previous life he associated with some Rasika Vaishnava and he implanted some rag in his heart. So he actually has a specific greed or rag to follow some resident of Vrindavan, even in the beginning, an Artanivrti. Well, it's very rare. Such genuine loba. Genuine loba or greed to follow Rupa Goswami or Rati Manjari. And very rare to find. But when one comes to Nishta, because he's been studying all the books of Rupa and Raghunath for so many years, and to help him become steady, along with that study, he's developed attachment to them. Not only their teachings, but they as persons, and they as servitors, as Manjaris, etc. So then, at the level of Nishta, his attachment or greed to follow them in Vrindavan is actually very strong. So then that greed enables him to begin the practices of Raganuga Sadhana, which generally begin at the platform of Nishta. Trinadapi Suniche Natalori Vasahishna. So the qualification to practice Raganuga Bhakti may come in the heart of anyone. It's like a man. He may be a lame man and may be ugly. And he may see some beautiful movie actress and he thinks, oh, maybe I could marry her. So it's impossible. Some lame and ugly man, how is he ever going to marry some movie star? It's impossible. Yet no one can stop him from having the greed for this. He may have the greed for this. So similarly, one may think, well, I'm like a lame man, I'm an ugly man. How can I ever become a sakhi of Radharani? How can I ever become Radharani's Manjari? It's kind of like Pravachan and goodbye at the same time. Radhe Radhe. Hare Krishna. So have a good time.
The wrong time has come.
Yeah, the wrong time. Radhe Radhe.
Thank you so much.
May Radharani bless you. May Prabhupada bless you. Radhe Radhe.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Right.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Right. So, in Indian families, when people leave, they cry. Everyone cries, you know. But we have to control our crying because we're in the middle of class. Jai Shri Radhe. So this is a nice analogy that someone may be an ugly man and but he sees some picture, some movie star, oh boy, maybe someday I can marry her. So when we read about, actually anyone is also eligible, anyone can follow Raghunuga Bhakti. If they have the greed, no one can stop us from having the greed. If someone hears the rasa-filled pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, a thought may come in his mind, could I ever serve like this? Like we read books like Sankalpa Kalpa Druma by Vishnath Chakravarti. And he says, oh Radharani, when will I see you lying in the flower bed in the morning after you spent the night in conjugal bliss with Shamasundar, and you're lying there in a tight embrace and your hair is entangled in his nose ring, and then I will enter that Nikunj ever so quietly, and I will very deftly and expertly disentangle your hair from Krishna's nose ring. And while I am engaged in that confidential service, I will consider every hair on your body to be more valuable to me than millions of my own lives. Oh, when will that day become? So, Vishnu Chakravarti is praying like this. When will he have such a rare, intimate opportunity for seva? So we may read a book like this, Sankalpa Kalpadrum, and then the thought may come, oh, would I ever be able to render service like this? Would it be possible that some distant future, millions of lives from now, I would have the proper siddhadeya or spiritual form of a gopi manjari, where I would be asked by Rupa Manjari to render the same service as is being described here? Well, that would be amazing. That would be wonderful. I could never imagine such a thing. So this is, it seems impossible, but anything's possible. So this thought may come, could I serve like this? We may have anarthas. Never mind. Just keep going. Keep hearing, chanting, and remembering, and be very careful not to make aparads. If we hear Lila Katha, the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, we will advance very quickly. We must keep chanting and remembering the pastimes. Even though the anarthas may enter the mind, Raghunath Das Goswami is advising in Mana Shiksha to chant more. And as we chant more, maybe material desires may come, but then we chant more, and then they'll go away. It's like a competition. We're chanting, and it seems sometimes the more you chant, the more material desires come. As soon as you want to increase your japa, you're chanting 16 rounds, or you want to chant 64, and you think, oh, I chant 64, I'll become so much more pure, and so much more attached. And then if you chant 64, you say, oh my God, what's all this coming up here? So many, all these things come up out of nowhere, all these sleeping dragons, and sleeping snakes. And then you think, wow, I thought I was doing pretty good. But this is all, they have to come up and then you have to cut their heads off. You have to cut the dragons. And once their heads are cut off, they're finished. So trying to progress on the road of bhajan, the enemies, this is told in Mana Shiksha, the enemies of lust, anger, they're like dacoits. And the reactions of our previous bad karma, So at that time, when these dacoits will attack us and try to steal our bhajan, prevent our bhajan, we should cry out for help to the guardians on the path. Rai Ramananda, Srub Damodar, Srila Prabhupada, the six Goswamis, Hichai Gosai Kori Chananabandan, Yahoite Bignash Abhishtapuran, Sri Rupshi Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath. These great guardians of devotion are always ready to help anyone who calls out for help. They are eternally existing. They are transcendental personalities. Abhishta, when we say Hichai Gosai Kori Chananabandan, Yahoite Bignanash Abhishtapuran, Abhishta Puran means complete Abhishta, or complete desires. Abhishta means the cherished desire in the core of the heart to attain the eternal service of lotus feet of Radharani. All of our Guru Varg and our Parampara are like our guardian angels. Like the Christians have this concept of guardian angels. There's some little angel that's hovering over my shoulder and keeping a watch out for me. He's guarding me, guardian angel. So the our guardian angels are the six Goswamis. Because even before, of course now Nrisimhadeva is very popular in ISKCON, only in ISKCON. He's so popular. He's become the guardian angel. But before, the guardian angels were the six Goswamis. And all the rest of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the guardian angels are the six Goswamis. And all of the, they chant this prayer, Srinam Sankirtan, especially this prayer to the Goswamis. Because they are, it's better to have six guardian angels than one. Because there are six enemies. Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Matsarya. So each one of these enemies, we have one guardian angel to knock them off. Alright? Six Goswamis and six enemies. Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. So these are six. So the six guardian angels can knock off these enemies of lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, madness, intoxication. Whereas in Srinadev, he'll have his hands full because he's only one person. But he's also called Bhakti Vignan Vinashana, Nrisimha Bhagavan. So some people, they wear Nrisimha Kavachas and they do all these different things. But really, all we need to do is chant Hare Krishna and worship the six Goswamis. Prabhupada was very keen on worshipping the six Goswamis. Prabhupada never wore Nrisimha Kavacha. Sometimes I make a joke, I ask people, I said, did Prahlad Maharaj wear in the Nrisimha Kavacha? Of course the answer is no. And so we're more than Prahlad, but Prahlad was saved by Nrisimhadeva. He had no Kavacha. He had no idea, he didn't have any idea in the Nrisimhadeva either. He never saw, or there was no such thing as Nrisimhadeva. His only idea, there's somebody named Vishnu, he has four arms, he's in my heart, and I'll just remember him, and then everything's okay. Right? Ante Narayana Smriti. So it looks like my end is coming. My father is going to kill me, throw me under the feet of these elephants. So it says in the Shastras, you should remember Narayana at the end. So this is the end. If 100 elephants step on your head, you're going to be finished. So now my end is near, so I better remember Narayana. So he did Vishnu Smaranam. Right? So he remembered Narayan. He didn't remember anybody with big teeth and all claws and things. He remembered Narayan. Very sweet, beautiful face, long curly hair, lotus eyes, conch shell, and gada, club, and lotus flower chakra. And then he's thrown off a cliff and he's sailing through the air. Just like a, you know, free falling without his parachute, opening his parachute. Just free falling from the top of a mountain. I'm just remembering Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. And then when he came down, Hari Bhakti Siddhartha explains the same pastime. When he landed on the bottom, there was like 100 feet of cotton. You know, it was 100 feet, like a cotton mattress, 100 feet thick. So when he fell out, he went, he just landed on his back and all this cotton went flying in the air. He was, oh wow, that was fun. That was fun, Daddy. Can you throw me off the Himalayas again? So, he just remembered Narayan, so we don't need what need is there all these things, you know. Anyway, somehow people have more faith in all this stuff than chanting Hare Krishna. Things have gone like that. Pretty interesting to watch. And so these are some ideas that I wrote here some notes. If we have greed, we can do bhajan. Oh, this is some other note. Yeah. Let me just see. It says here, page 4. Because I went through this book last year. I wrote a lot of notes, but I forgot about it. I just remembered. I'm just speaking extemporaneously, but I took some notes. Here, in this verse, as we've been hearing, Raghunath Das Goswami is describing the absolute necessity of taking shelter of the lotus feet of Radha. The term Shringhar Ras means erotic love. Without worshipping the dust of the lotus feet of Radha, we can't enter this ocean. Anything contrary to the desire to serve Radhika, anything contrary to desiring to serve the Rasika Vaishnavas absorbed in the beautiful Seva Radharani should be rejected. When Bhava appears in the heart, we will directly see the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the kunjas and kuns. By their mercy of the associates who possess the same mood that we want to attain, we will, this is what it means actually, when it says, worship Radharani, the dust of Radharani's feet. One of the meanings is that we associate with those devotees that are always speaking about Radharani. Someone might ask a question, well, Raghunath Das is saying here we should worship the dust of Radharani's feet. Well, how do you do that? Because, well, the dust of her feet is scattered all over Vrindavan. Well, we worship the dust of her feet by associating with her devotees and hearing them glorify Srimati Radharani. And there are some devotees that are really absorbed in Radharani, and they write about, you know, some of the saints that live here at Radhakund. They speak so wonderfully about Radharani, and you can hear their lectures in transcription. And of course, you can also read in Prabhupada's books. I was reading Nectar Devotion this morning, where Prabhupada was describing one aspect of sadhana bhakti, and he was talking about this word Sri Krishna Akarshani. And one paragraph he used the word Radha and Radharani about 6 times. He said, so this means we should worship Radharani. The goal of our life is to worship Radharani with Krishna and Radha and Radha and Radha. I was amazed. That's really Prabhupada was really pouring out the nectar there, Nectar Devotion. I think it was like page 20, 25, something like that. So even Prabhupada, if you look for it, you'll see key phrases and statements throughout his books where he's speaking very wonderfully about Radharani. So if we associate with some devotees that are always speaking about the glories and beauty and pastimes of Radharani, then that is actually a way of worshipping her feet, the dust of her feet, because the dust of her feet means her pastimes, her name, her qualities, her pastimes. So that's all. Always live in Vrindavan with devotees of Radharani and hear Leela Katha from them. Our acharyas are telling us these very good instructions, and we say, yes, it's very nice instruction. I like your instruction, but I can't seem to find anybody like this. So now what? So now, as I mentioned, that these personalities are always living in Vrindavan. Raghunath Das is always living in Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami is always living in Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they're living in Vrindavan, and their books are also here. As we often mention, when one comes to Vrindavan, then he finds out about all these books, because he finds out about a little store in a little town on a little street. There's a little town named Vrindavan, a little street named Loy Bazaar, and a little store named Rasavihari's, you know, pub, Rasavihari's nectar shop. And you wander in there and you get lost. Of course, quite a few rupees come out of your pocket. But you get lost in an amount of books that are available, even in our own language of English, which many people understand. It's endless supply, really endless. And you won't find a little Rasavihari's in Moscow or New York or L.A. or anywhere. My friend recently went to L.A., and she said she went to the temple. She said, I didn't see any of your books there. There's nothing there. My books are like only a couple few books. What to speak of all Rasa Vihari's books. So this is Rasa Vihari's mercy. Rasa Vihari is name for Krishna. He's always enjoying Ras. The enjoyer of Ras is Rasa Vihari, and he wants us all to enjoy that Ras. So we can live in Vrindavan and associate with the Rasika Vaishnavas by reading their books and becoming tanmoy with them, becoming one with them, and really crying out to them. Hey Radhe Brajadevi Kecha Lalite. We can have our own prayer. Hey Rupa. In fact, maybe, I don't know who wrote the book, maybe Narottam wrote this song, Jayanila Premadan. He's saying, he's also crying out, Hey Swarup Damodar, where have you gone? Hey Krishna's Kaviraj, hey Rupa Goswami, hey Raghunath Das, hey Sanatana Goswami, where are you? I'm here, you were here. It was only a few moments ago you were here. You were in Pavan Sarovara, Sanatan. Hey Rupa, you were in Tarakadamba. Hey Jiva, you were in Sevakunj. I'm living here. Where are you? You're here, but you're just beyond the screen. You're just beyond the screen of my eyes. The eyelid is like a screen, and this Mahamaya is like a screen. If I can open my eyes and penetrate the Mahamaya, then I can see the aprakrit lila, aprakat lila. And then we can meet face to face Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das. Remember once we were interviewing some devotees here at Radhakund for our Radhakund book. We were interviewing some very advanced devotees several years ago. And they said sometimes when they were doing kirtan late at night, doing this Kanda Kirtan, they saw someone come out of Raghunath Das Samadhi. Someone came out, he went down the steps, he took a bath, he went back in and went into Samadhi. You know, the little like cone-shaped thing there. And they were thinking, who is this? Could this be Raghunath Das? So such events have been witnessed by devotees that, and even there was one devotee who believed he saw near Dwarasa Ditya Tila, he believed one night he saw Sanatana Goswami. And even he asked him, this is Nobel Kapoor's book, when he saw him, he said, it appears that perchance you might be Sanatana Goswami. And then the person just looked at him and he just smiled, and then he turned around and he walked a few steps and poof, disappeared. So by these mystical accounts, they may be true, they may not be true, but the point is that Krishna's pastimes are going on here with his eternal associates. And this is our, aside from meeting face to face and hearing directly from advanced Vaishnavas who are certainly available in Vrindavan, in absence of that, we can also associate with very advanced devotees by reading the books of the Acharyas, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and pray to them that they will reveal, they will speak to us. And they do speak through their books. The more you read their books, a book like Prema Bhakta Chandrika is a very deep book. It's all in sutras. Sutra means there's condensed knowledge, very secretive condensed knowledge. So as you study each mantra, then it's like Chandrika. Chandrika means moonbeams. But the moon may be shining outside your house, and so soothing, and so brilliant, and so attractive. But if you sit inside your house and say, oh, it appears very light outside, I think the moon is shining, you won't get much benefit. But if you go outside and stand in the moon rays, then you feel your mind becomes soothed and nourished by the Chandrika, by the moonbeams. So this Prema Bhakti Chandrika is like this. If you only read it superficially, it's like standing in your house and looking outside at the moon rays. But if you go deep into the book and study the verses one by one and pray to Narottam, please, will you shine the light of Prema on my heart? Will you illuminate my heart with some of the deep teachings here? Because there's only a few verses there. But the whole, you can say, gamut of Prema Tattva is there in this book, Prema Bhakti Chandrika. Then Manashiksha of Raghunath Das Goswami, Upadeshamrita. There's a handful of books. It's not like you go on Rasa Vihari's and my God, where do I start? There's thousands of books, hundreds of books. And people often ask, well, what do I read? Where do I start? So I can give a list. We give a list of 6-7 books, that's all. Read these books inside out, upside down. You know, run these books through your heart. You know, put these books on a string and run it through your heart. First run it through your mind, squeeze it out, then set your mind aside, then bring it down, run it through your heart 100 times, and see what happens. So we'll stop there, if there's any questions or comments. Tomorrow, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about the conception of being a maidservant of Sri Radha. Now there's no beating around the bush anymore. This is direct. This is the elevator. No taking the stairs. This is it. You take it or you run away from here. And this is page 205. And the book has 400 pages. So half the book is about Manjri Bhav, Gintri Bhav. Asakti Bhavan Prema. This is our Bhajan handbook, Bhajan Rahasyam. We have some idea to write the handbook to Bhajan Rahasyam, or the sequel to Bhajan Rahasyam. Some idea like that. Yeah, teach yourself Bhajan. And then I can put an advertisement in the back. We have a whole line of other books. Teach yourself carpentry. Teach yourself plumbing. Teach yourself sailing, guitar, music, computers. Ultimately, it's like that. I mean, we can say practice ourselves. We have to practice ourselves, and then the teachings will become revealed by the mercy of the guardians of devotion. Any questions or comments?
Please mention again three things that live in Vrindavan.
Yeah, it said to worship the dust of the lotus feet of Radharani. To live in Vrindavan, which means to remember the pastimes that Radha and Krishna had in various places in Vrindavan. And when living in Vrindavan, live in those different places. Live in Vrindavan means your mind is living. Especially because Rupa Goswami says if you can't live physically in Vrindavan, and even if you are living there, you should mentally live there. If you're living outside of Vrindavan, you should live there mentally. So when we're living in Vrindavan, we should be meditating on the different pastimes that take place in Vrindavan. And if we're living in one specific Leela Stali, that's very conducive, because that Leela Stali is surcharged with Leela Shakti. That Leela Shakti has the power to energize, or let's say, strengthen our meditation so that we can more easily perceive that Leela and understand that Leela is happening at that particular Leela Stali. As the example is given, that if you want to do business or exchanging and selling and buying stocks, the best place is the stock market. You can go on internet and try to do buying and selling of stocks, or you can go to some stock office or something. If you're right there at the stock exchange and you're watching all the world on all these boards and everything, then you can really buy, sell. So if you want to do Leela Smaran and you want to meditate on Krishna's pastimes, the best, most conducive place is where they're happening. And this is the example of the great saints. These great saints have so much power, so much memory power, so much purity and so much perfection, they could sit in Alaska. They can go to the North Pole and sit in the North Pole and meditate on Ras Leela. But they don't do that. They come to Rasastali. They come to Yamuna Pulin. They come to Deer Samir, like Subal. And he sat in Deer Samir and did his meditation. Left his body there. Goridas Pandit with Subal Sakha. That's the place where Radha and Krishna sat, Deer Samir, during Ras Leela. So they sit right there, in the middle of the Leela Stali, and they meditate. Right? Right on the banks of Shamakund, right next to Manasapavan Ghat, Vishwanath, Raghunath, Krishnas Kaviraj, and Jiva Goswami. Even Vyasadeva came to Shamakund, did Bhajan, Vyasagira, Madhavendra Puri. That's one reason why we left Ramanreti, because we were living in Ramanreti for many years. But we understood this point from reading and associating with Vaishnavas, that Ramireti is kind of like, it's not here and it's not there. There's not really any specific leela that took place. It was just a jungle, forested region. It's not a specific known leela stali of Radha and Krishna, like Seva Kunj and Nidiban and Dhir Samir and Venukup. And all these are the places where the Goswamis frequented. So this is the banks of Shamakund. This is Ananga Mandri's Kunj. Sunanda Saka gave her Kunj to Ananga Mandri. Sunanda Saka has this Kunj on the side of Shamakund. So all the Asasakas, they gave their Kunjas to the Sakis. So he gave his Kunj to Ananga Mandri. So this Ananga Mandri's Kunj comes out here. We're in Ananga Mandri's Kunj. So we tried to make it something like a kunj. Not very creative, but get some facsimile thereof. So we call this place Ananga Rangada Kunj. That kunj which gives it the sports of Ananga, to our pleasure to Radha Krishna or Ananga. Ananga Rangada. Because every Sakhi Mandri has her own Seva Kunj. Or she renders personal service to Radha Krishna. So this is where we do our service. In Sadaka Roop and Siddha Roop. One by one. Have to start somewhere. So in Sadaka Roop we're trying to follow the footsteps of our predecessors and speak something. And then by their grace maybe we can realize our Siddha Saroop. This is the process. Evam parampara praptam imam rajashayu vadu sakale neha mahata yoganashta parantapa. It comes in following a parampara. Yes?
What is the name of the book that describes all the different kunjas? I think it's
Madhya. Well, the different kunjas are described in Govinda Lila Mrita and Madhyan Lila by Krishna's Kaviraj. I can't remember right offhand, but he's describing the names of the different kunjas. And all the particularities, what's going on in each one, and subgroves there. And Krishna and Vishnu Chakravarti also in Krishna Bhavanamrita also describes. And maybe, I don't know, Jiva Goswami, I'm not familiar with that book that you're mentioning. Yes?
Does that mean that the body has some particular place or lives a particular leela stali? He should just focus on mainly on the service that takes place in that leela stali rather than trying to meditate on Astakali leela. Now we're going here and now we're going there. And we should just sit in there and do like mantra upasana of that place and just.
Because you see the Goswamis, they would move in different. They were going in different places. Sanatan Goswami sometimes using Gokul, he had a bhajan kutir. Sometimes the Dwadasa Dityatila, sometimes the Chakaleshwar, sometimes the Pavan Sarovara. Yeah, there's several different places here and there in Kamivan also. And Rupa Goswami is in Terakadamba, and he was also in Sevakunj. So they move here and there, and wherever they are, generally the style of bhajan is they do Astakali Smarana. So wherever they are, they'll meditate on all the leelas. They may be in Radhakund, they're meditating on Suryakund, or at night they're meditating on Vamshivat. That's a fact. But generally they have some, when they're in one area, as the Goswamis are moving, now Bhajanandis, they stay in one place pretty much, for the most part. And they stay there, and they'll do Astakali Smaran all over Braj, wherever Radha and Krishna are going. So we can't say, we just say that they're taking strength from the Leela Shakti of that place. And with that Leela Shakti, with that strength from that Leela Shakti, they're using it for all their meditations. But especially, it gives entrance into the Leela of that location. That's a fact. And they can also, if they choose, they can just absorb themselves 24 hours a day just in that Leela of that place. But that would be the exception. And there are cases like that. Siddha Krishnadas was in Manasi Ganga. And sometimes he would meditate just on holy all day long on holy, because they play holy over there, Radha and Krishna. He would get all colors. He would come out and be all colors, all on his dhoti. He'd be red and blue and pink. So very deep meditation. He would enter there and come back all. He'd forget to wash his dhoti before he came out of the lila. Oh, I'm going back, I better wash my dhoti, get all these colors out. Someone might detect that I was in the holy lila. These things have happened. Generally, they'll do Astakali Smaran. Or if they want, they can stay. But the places are surcharged with lila shakti. So they make Smaran easier. Just like in yoga. Those that follow the path of yoga, they know that they want to do pranayam, and they want to minimize their eating and sleeping and maximize their meditation. So in order to deeply meditate, you have to have a high quantity of prana. You have to bring a lot of prana into your body in order to bring your body to the level of sattvagun. Because prana will like purify all the lower modes and bring your mind to a very high state of purity so you can deeply meditate for hours on end. That's called dhyan. And then Jhuvanu Smriti, then Samadhi, which is the goal of yoga. So they try to position themselves in an environment that's full of prana. Of course, now with the ozone all knocked off everywhere, it's very difficult to find those pranic zones. But generally on the banks of rivers, moving rivers like Ganga, fast-moving rivers, Ganga, the ocean sides, or mountaintops. So generally yogis go to mountaintops because people, if they go to ocean sides, they may find some bunch of people lying naked or something, you know, sunbathing in their bikinis. And if they go to riversides, people may be partying, having beer picnics and stuff. So, or boating or water skiing on a river or something. So they go to mountaintops because mountains have a lot of wild animals and they're rugged terrain and it's difficult to get up there, so materialistic people don't like. And of course, nowadays people are running up and down mountains and rappelling and climbing here and there and disturbing even the yogis. But these places are full of prana. And the scientists, they call it ions and things like that. But they don't use all these terms in yoga shastra. They say prana. And they go, pranayam. Because it's prana is what gives life. So all the food we eat, we're trying to simply get the prana out of the food. Release the prana. So if you can just get the prana out of the air, then you don't need any food. That's why they don't need any food, because they just extract prana and they live on that. They call them breatharians. Pranayam. So, but that's for yoga. For bhakti yoga, we want lila pravesh. We want to enter the lila in our siddhadeya and our smaran. So that as they take advantage of pranic atmospheres to go into meditation in dhyana and dhruvana smriti and merge in brahman or whatever, we take the advantage of lila stalis, which are full of lila shakti, lila potency, and we draw that potency into ourself and use that potency to enter the lila in the same sequence of dhyana, dhruvana smriti and samadhi, lila samadhi. And forget about pranayama. We just meditate. You know. Take some madhukari and take some halava, some roti, whatever you get, buttermilk and sabji and madhukari, and then do lila smaran and go into samadhi. Some people do both. They combine both yoga and bhakti. There's a whole book called Prem Pradeep about that. Yoga and bhakti. Well, that's the exception, because they were probably yogis in their last life and they carried over into this. There are many saints in the Gaudiya Sampradaya that had all kinds of mystic powers. They flew in the air, they walked on water, they were all kinds of things, like Rasikananda, Shamananda's disciple Rasikananda. He used to sit on a rock and fly around in the air. And so many magical pastimes, slapping tigers, slapping elephants, raging elephants would be charging at me, yep, stop. You know. Chan Haribo, Haribo. Like Lord Chaitanya going through the Jarikan forest, right? And he had the deer and the tiger were boogieing, you know. They were dancing together, the deer and the tiger, right? The tiger usually has a deer for lunch. And now they're dancing, doing a waltz together, right? Waltzing around the forest floor. It's there. So these yogis you read is amazing. And the story of Obil Kapoor, a biography of Rasikananda. Some guy came out to eat him up on a tiger, and then he converted the tiger and the guy into a Vaishnava. Some tantric came out to eat him up. So someone came out and said, this tantric yogi is coming to eat you with his tiger. He has his tiger, he eats Vaishnavas. He's a Shaivite. So Rasikananda said, really? And Rasikananda was brushing his teeth with a neem twig in the morning. He was sitting on a rock, and then this guy comes up, you know, riding on a tiger, this tantric. And he said, okay, tiger, eat the guy. And then, you know, Rasikananda looked at the tiger, and then he just slapped the rock he was on. He said, fly. And then all of a sudden, Rasikananda went flying in the sky on this rock, on this boulder. And he's flying all around, brushing his teeth. He's just going in circles, like landing pattern. He's going around looking at the sky, and the guy's on this tiger going, you know, watching Rasikananda. Oh my God, what is this? I thought I was a great tantric. I tamed this tiger, now I have this tiger eating Vaishnavas. So Rasikananda landed, and he said, so what is your mission? What do you want? And he just folded his hands. He said, please, you know, I had some other idea over to come out here to have my tiger eat you up, but I see you're a great mystic yogi, much more powers and tantrics than I have. So please, can you tell me, how did you get your power? And he said, yes, I'll give you power, but you have to surrender. You have to give up this habit of eating Vaishnavas with your tiger. You have to stop eating, promise to stop eating, no more eating Vaishnavas with your tiger. He said, all right, I promise. I don't know what the tiger said, but that, you know, but that's what he said. And then he said, all right, so now I'll give you this mantra. And if you chant this mantra, then you'll get all these powers. So he said, lean over here, give me your right ear. Then he gave him the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And he said, you chant this mantra and you can fly in the sky like me. So like this, there's so many great powers. Even some devotees are great yogis. But it's not necessary to go to the top of the mountain to meditate on Krishna's Leela. The only mountain we care about is Govardhan. And we're not allowed to walk on Govardhan. But you can take one small shila and sit on the side of Govardhan. And sit in front of Govardhan and cry your heart out. And beg the Giriraj, he'll reveal all the prem-filled leelas that happen in his caves and in his